You know, one of the values that people desire to preserve is, and they use this phrase, traditional landmark character of the mountain. This appears prominently, actually, in 1994-95 when the conservation area concept is first created. I'm just wondering if each of you could comment on what you believe that phrase means, traditional landmark character of the mountain, to preserve the traditional landmark character.
I don't really know what it means.
That's it. Well, landmark. That's interesting, because it is one of the guiding principles. If you look at the City of Burnaby OCP under their heritage planning, preserving the traditional landmark character of the mountain is one of those.
We should have thought
principles
of that before they put the university up there.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Well, lots of greenery, I suppose.
Well, it's you know, each person that I've talked to has a little different idea of what that means, and one person told me that it's, to her, it's the views from the mountain, and I always thought that it meant views up the mountain, so you wouldn't say put buildings on the south slope because that would destroy the traditional landmark character of it. But each person seemed to have a bit different idea.
Well, many years ago I used to do a little maintenance contract on a building in Royal Oak Avenue, and I probably looked after rooftop heating units for about probably 15 years. But one of the gentlemen who at that time was probably in his early 80s was a gentleman called Mr. Norman. And he had told me as a youth that he had once had a job to go up onto Burnaby Mountain where there was a huge spruce tree that had been hit by lightning, and the top of the tree had been kind of like broken off, and they wanted someone to go up there and top this part of the tree before they could cut it down. And he was in his early 20s, full of bravado, and indeed he was the one that climbed up there and chopped the top of that tree down. He told me how huge this tree was, and indeed, that's a part of history. But one of the things that I notice driving around the mountain, particularly if you go around on Forest Grove, Ash Grove corridor, you will see some of the original huge stumps of the Douglas firs and cedars that were actually the original old growth trees that were harvested and logged. And you can tell them because you can see the little notch in the stump where they put up the planks that they would chop with their double head axis. Now, these trees are here. Some of them have become nurse stumps where there's another tree growing out of the stump. That's part of the history, but is anyone preserving or taking photographs of it? I don't know that there is, but again, that's part of history.
It is, and that importance of that continuity with the past, that is important.
Yeah, there's one just down the trail below the school. When I take the school kids out, I show them that.
Big old cedar stump like this, and on top of it, a hemlock with its roots going down like this.
And indeed, one time North Road pushed right through to the other side of the mountain. It's North Road is actually the oldest road in the province.
Built in case we got invaded by the Americans, wasn't it? So
something
they could
like
get
that.
The troops back and forth quickly. So we could, not the Americans. There's a plaque up at the top.
Oh, is there?
Opposite the tank farm there.
Oh, I'll have to go up there. John, I'd like to ask you about what you like about living in Forest Grove, because this is a neighborhood that's built on the south slope of Burnaby Mountain, and I'm just wondering what you like about living here.
John?
Oh, sorry, Alan. I was looking at Alan saying John. Sorry, Alan.
Well,
No, Alan, you live on Eagle Creek.
I lived on Stony right, Creek.
Okay. I've just gotten myself totally confused. Who lives in Forest Grove?
Neither of us at the moment.
Neither of you? But
John was there.
John was there, and I was there.
Okay. I used to live on Willow Leaf Place.
Okay.
Which is just 2 minutes from Tributary 3A. And I still live on the mountain, and I live in Meadowview Park, so I'm actually on one of the headwaters of Eagle Creek.
Oh, okay.
But what I like about this part of Burnaby, although we're in the city, we're also very much involved in nature. It's all around us with the trails, the trees, the forest. In the spring of the year, I hear the chorus of frogs that come from a retaining pond on the Trans Mountain Pipeline. The noise of these frogs, it is so loud that if you walk down our street, and as soon as the sound dies down, you can hear the sound of the frogs from the retaining pond on the Shell property. So there's such a diversity of life. Like, where else can you live in Burnaby and look into your garden and see all the birds? Indeed, I've even had a lynx come into my garden. Now, what other part of it? You certainly can't do that in Vancouver.
Yes. So would you say that Forest Grove is a good example of how human activities can be integrated into an urban forest?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when the neighborhood was planned, this was back around 1975, around there. One of the considerations was its whether it was appropriate or how to build appropriately next to the conservation area.
I would have to say that what they did then, they couldn't do it today, because today the riparian zone setback is much larger. For example, a lot of the houses are built far too close to the creek all those years ago. Today you would have to have a much larger setback. I think we could do it a lot better today.
But it is a possibility then. Could you actually see perhaps housing development going further up the slope and still being appropriate in some way to the conservation area?
I sure
area?
Hope that we don't have any more development. And the reason I say that, if you look what's happening with the new SkyTrain line that's going through, you see older residential buildings where people who are on the lower end of the social economic scale can afford to live in this beautiful community. Now what we see happening are all those buildings have been sold off, they're being condoized, so the densification is increasing. So there's going to be more people in the zone. And you get to a certain point where nature can accommodate so many people going up and down the trail. And Christine can probably reiterate and back up what I say, that when it comes to things like birds, if you have a trail where two or three people are going down it an hour, you have a lot of birds. Mm-hmm. But if you have a trail where there's 50 or 60 people going around it every 15 minutes, so all of a sudden your wildlife corridor is no longer habitable by those birds.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the threats that I see to the continued enjoyment and being able to maintain and continue what we have now is that a huge increase in population is going to put more pressure on the urban natural resources, and can it sustain and survive that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And the other thing too that I would add, all the developers that want to build and increased densification, I would like to see them share part of their profits with people like the Stony Creek Group, because when it comes right down to it, it's not the city, it's not DFO, it's the volunteers from the Stony Creek Environmental Working Group, people like Christine and Alan, myself, and all the other wonderful volunteers that actually are the stewards of the resources here.
Yes, and maintaining that wonderful amenity mm-hmm. for all of us, yes.
Mm-hmm. We're the eyes and the ears of the community.
I guess I've actually... I've come to the end of my questions, but is there anything from our interview that you have further thoughts about or anything else you would like to add? Christine?
Don't think so.
Okay.
No, we've covered a lot of ground this morning. I think one thing that sort of John tweaked in my mind, and that is that it's not any one individual issue that we have to deal with. It's the total cumulative effect of more bicycles, more dogs, more people walking, more drones. You know, there are going to be all kinds of things, more pipelines, all those kinds of things. Each one may not be, something that you're going to stand up and shout about. But when you look at it from the totality of it, you can see that things have the opportunity to get degraded over time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only thing I would say that if you're listening to this in 2030 or in the future, that you too will have the caring and compassion to continue to do the work that we have done over the years to maintain and look after this. And we hope that what we've done doesn't die with us, that someone else is going to continue it on.
Well, that's great. Well, that sounds like a good way to end then.
Yeah.
I thank you all very much.
You're very welcome.